We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray, let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment of the
day. Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of my day. I'm Tina Dobbs, sitting in the driver's seat this morning. My sister in Christ, Monica Lovell, is over there running the iPad for us. And our guest this morning is Pastor Joe Thompson. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well. Going into a new year, it's all new, so to speak.
Yes.
And just, you know, as we turn into a new year, really, it's just a date on the calendar.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a time for us to sometimes pause and reflect, and maybe we need to do that more than once a year, but I am doing well.
I agree with that. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can email that to hourofpower32@gmail.com, or you can comment on the Facebook post, and we'll do our best to get it on paper and pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and I'll do my best to get that uploaded shortly after the program has ended. Our sponsor for today is the Refuge Church, located at New Liberty in Sarah, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey will bless your shoes and socks off. Please like, share, and comment to let us know you're joining us, even if it's the replay. And today is Thursday, so we will have a word from Pastor Dwight Shepherd on the Truth broadcast. He will not be in the building. However, when this broadcast is over, we will reset the iPad and come back live with a word from Pastor Dwight called New in Christ. I think I covered it all. I don't do Thursdays very often, so thank you, Lord, for bringing to my remembrance. Would you like to pray to start
us out? Father, I just want to say thank you for this day that you have blessed us with. And Lord, as we are in a new year, just remind us that you are the one who makes all things new. You're the one who takes our old life and brings us into a new life, a life that is centered on you, a life that has meaning, a life that brings results as we share and minister with people. So, Father, I just pray today that as we are here ministering, that your word will go out, that individuals will hear the word that they need to hear. Maybe it's not in what is said this morning, but it's just you speaking to their heart in some way. And Lord, I just pray that you will do the work that you want to do in hearts and lives today. And we'll give this time to you and give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I like your title, How to Be Successful.
How to be successful in the new year. As we're in this new year, you know, it's people start to think, well, what can I do differently? How can things be different? And we're going to discuss that a little bit. Let me just remind individuals, though, about the Ministerial Alliance and our New Year series. A new year is actually the theme to that, but we'll be talking on three different weeks, beginning on January the 14th, of body, mind, and soul. And we'll discuss one of those each week. And so if you want to be a part of that, first of all, if your church are participating, make sure that you're there.
Yeah.
If you want to hear what others are saying, go on their website and the church's website and listen to maybe what was shared by their pastor in the sermon. And the idea is that we want to be sharing the same theme for 3 to 4 weeks. This year's 3 weeks throughout the month of January, and just letting people know and helping people to understand, you know, that we serve the same God. We serve the God who is able to accomplish things above what we ask, think, or imagine. And we do this to kind of encourage not only cooperation, but to encourage conversation.
Yes.
among people in the churches. It's not anyone trying to steal another person's or another church's sheep or anything of that nature. We're just wanting to encourage conversation among like-minded Christian believers. So want to encourage you to be a part of that this year as we're moving into that. Again, that starts on January the 14th, so keep that in mind.
I'm excited about that.
All right. Well, we're going to be talking about how to how to be successful in this coming year, how to be successful basically in general. But as we're in the new year, we kind of think, you know, well, what do I need to do to be successful in this new year? I want to begin with a story about an American investment banker who had gone on vacation down to a small village on the coast of Mexico. And as he was sitting out one morning, he saw a small boat leave from the shore with one fisherman inside of it. And inside, and he watched as the fisherman went out, and he came back a little while later, and he'd caught several large yellowfin tuna. And so the American, whenever the fisherman came back, he complimented him on the quality of his fish and says, well, it didn't take you a very long time to catch that many fish, did it? And said, no, not really, only a little while. I've been fishing for years here, and I know where to go fishing, and so it's really not a problem. Well, the American then asked, well, why didn't you stay out longer, and why didn't you catch more fish? And the fisherman replied, and he said, well, I go out every day. I only catch enough to support my family's immediate needs. And so the American, being curious, asks, well, what do you do with the rest of your time? Fisherman replied, well, I sleep late. I fish little. I play with my children. I take a siesta with my wife, Maria. In the evening, I stroll into the village, and I sip a little wine, and I play guitar with my amigos. Says, I have a full and a busy life. The investment banker scoffs, and he says, well, I have a Harvard MBA, and I really can help you. He says, you should go out, and you should spend more time fishing, and with those proceeds that you get from catching more fish, you can go out, and you can buy a bigger boat. And within the proceeds from the bigger boat, you will be able to buy several boats, and you'll be able to hire people to man those boats, and you'll be able to catch more fish, and eventually you'll have a full fleet of fishing boats. And instead of selling your catch to a middleman like you do now, you'll be able to sell it directly to the processor, and then after a while you'll have enough money where you can open your own fishing cannery, and you can control the product and the processing and the distribution. It says, now, in order to do that, you would need to leave this small coastal fishing village, and you'd have to move first to Mexico City and then eventually to L.A. and then finally to New York City to be able to run this expanding enterprise. The fisherman asks and says, well, how long do you expect this to take? And the American replies and says, well, probably it'll take you 15 to 20 years. Then what? Asks the fisherman. The American laughs and he says, well, that's the very best part. When the time's right, you'll announce an initial public offering, and you'll sell your company stock to the public, and you'll become rich. You're going to make millions. Millions? Then what? The American said, then you would retire, move to a small coastal fishing village where you would sleep late, fish a little, play with your kids, take a siesta with your wife, stroll into the village in the evenings where you could sip wine and play guitar with your amigos. And so.
But the kids are grown by then.
Yeah. So the two different ideas of how to be successful and then what to do with it when you're successful. And apparently this Mexican fisherman already had figured out how to be successful. And so we need to be careful whenever we're looking at success. Mm-hmm. What does success really look like? There's nothing wrong with being a big businessman. But that's not for everybody. If you're being successful where you're at, if you're able to accomplish what you think, feed your family, take care of yourself, serve God, not everybody has to be that big, successful, as we would call it, person. But we need to understand that successful people basically follow four rules. First of all, look where you've come from. Understand your past. Understand where you've come from. Look where you're going. Know what your plans are ahead of you. Look what needs to be done. Set your priorities to accomplish those things that you're looking at. And then you need to stick with those priorities. And we understand that in life, some things change. Unexpected things happen. So we have to deal with those. But basically, those are the things that we need to look at. What's interesting is that these four rules are basically out of the Bible. They're living out biblical principles in life. And we see a great example of this in Joshua whenever he's led the children of Israel across the Jordan River and he's conquering the land of Canaan. And so let's take a look at Joshua's speech to his people, to the people of Israel, as he's getting ready to basically retire from conquering. There's still land to be conquered, but Joshua has helped them to conquer most of the land. And so in Joshua chapter 24, and beginning in verse 18, we want to read, or 14, I'm sorry, we want to read these words. So honor the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly. Put away forever the idols of your ancestors in which they worshipped when they lived beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt. Serve the Lord alone. But if you're unwilling to serve the Lord, then choose who you will serve. Would you prefer the gods of your ancestors which they served beyond the Euphrates, or will it be the God of the Amorites in whose land you now live? But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. The people replied, we would never forsake the Lord and worship other gods. For the Lord our God is the one who rescued us from and our ancestors from slavery in the land of Egypt. He performed mighty miracles before our very eyes. As we traveled through the wilderness among our enemies, he preserved us. It was the Lord who drove out the Amorites and the other nations living here in the land. So we too will serve the Lord, for he alone is our God. And so in this passage here, Joshua is reminding the people what's really important. And he's saying, you know, you can look back to the history. You can choose who you're going to serve. You can choose what you're going to do. But God's brought you to this place right now. And so the first thing that we have to remember is that we need to look where God has brought us from. And in verses 1 through 10 of this chapter, which I didn't read, you can go and read that a little bit later. But Joshua begins this discourse to the people of Israel by telling them where God has brought them from. And he goes all the way back to Abraham, and he says that God brought Abraham into the promised land and promised this land to them, to him and his descendants. He talks about Jacob and Esau and how there was rivalry there and how they split, and Jacob became the even though he was younger, became the chosen son. Talks about the Egyptian captivity. He goes on and he shares with them about how God has led them through the wilderness and how God was faithful to them in the wilderness. And he points out how God has protected them from all of their enemies and has brought them into the land. And so, as Joshua is reminding the people of this, then it's important for us to recognize where God has brought us from. We don't have the story that the Israelites do, but we all have our own story. And we need to look at our story, and we need to learn from it. George Santayana said, those who do not learn from history are doomed to repeat it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's really true. All you got to do is look back through history, and you can see how history has been repeated over and over and over and over again. And we're seeing that in our lifetime, as we look around the world. You know, I've lived long enough to see this borne out again and again. The reason why we have wars is because we don't learn from the previous wars. The reason why you see what's happening in the world today with the wars is because we haven't learned from the previous wars that have taken place. Politics, you know, that's a big one. It pits one side against the other. It says, my way, no my way, no my way. And we're at each other's throat rather than finding the common ground where we can agree. And we need to understand that. I had a college professor one time, and I really liked what he said. He said, you usually don't find truth on the left or on the right. He says, you usually find it in the middle. And that's really true when it comes to the world, you know. We have extreme right, we have extreme left, and when we're living that out, we can't come to common ground on that. And truth usually is found there in the middle. I mean, another thing, even probably more blaringly obvious, is the fact that we have, you know, dozens, hundreds of denominations and church groups out there. And the reason why we have that is because we think our group interprets the Bible best.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so we fail to come onto the common ground. A common ground for us as Christians is that that of Jesus Christ and God's love for us, and how Jesus showed his love for us. You know, we need to look back. We need to see what really is important. Mm-hmm. And so we need to recognize those things that we do have in common, and how God has brought us out of sin through Jesus, and how he brought us out of our loneliness, our alienation from God, and our alienation with each other. As we come into a right relationship with God through Jesus, then that should inspire us to come into right relationships with others. He's brought many out of despair, out of a financial ruin, or broken relationships that had been broken for years. Those can be mended from loneliness, homelessness, addiction. And so as we're going into this year, it's a good time for us to reflect where God has brought us from over this past year and over all the previous years. You know, and to celebrate where God has actually brought us to. Mm-hmm. You know, if you would have told me when God called me into the ministry, you know, back when I was in high school, that I'd be in Elk City, Oklahoma, you know, 40-something years later, I'd go, Elk City, Oklahoma, where is that? Oh, yeah. We traveled through there one time when we were going to the National FFA Convention. That's all I know about Elk City, Oklahoma, you know. But we look where God has brought us from in our journey, and so we need to recognize where God has brought us from so we can have a proper appreciation of where we're at. And so the second thing we have to do then is recognize where God has brought us to. Joshua pointed out that it was God that who had brought the people into the land of Canaan, the promised land. He says, it was God who made the walls of Jericho fall. Now, the Israelites had to do their part. Wasn't that big of a part, but right, they had to do their part. Had to walk around the walls of Jericho, you know. They had to shout. They had to take Jericho once the walls fell. But it was God who enabled all of that to happen. God had given them victory over basically all the land. They suffered very few defeats when they were taking the land of Canaan. And when they did suffer a defeat, it was because they were not trusting God. Mm-hmm. So learn from that. That's what he's saying. He says, God even took care of a lot of people, and you basically had nothing to do with it. He says, God sent the hornets to drive some of the people out of the land. He sent hail to take care of some of your enemies. God gave them vineyards that weren't, they hadn't planted. And so he's saying, remember, God brought you to this place. God brought you to the promised land. And you need to remember that. And the lesson for us is that God has brought us to the place where we are at in our lives. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, if we've been living for God this past year, we've seen spiritual growth in our lives. We're not the same person we were a year ago. And if you're the same person you were at this time last year, you need to do a little checkup. If you're grouchy and moody last year, and you're still grouchy and moody at this time this year, you need to do a little checkup. If you're being plagued by some of the same things that went on last year, you need to do a little bit of a checkup. Because hopefully you've experienced God's love in a greater way. Hopefully you've been able to influence the lives of people around you in a positive manner. And if you have more people that hate you than hated you last year, that's not success, people. you know, now, there can be people that hate you, you know, but it's not because you have been mean to them. They may hate you because of what you stand for and what have you. But if you have more people that don't like you because you've been grouchy, because you've been disagreeable, all that, better check yourself on that. And hopefully through this past year, we see the world through a little bit different lens than we did a year ago. God has worked in our lives. And so we've experienced that spiritual growth. He's also brought us to success in the world of business or our work. And whatever success you've had this year is because of God's blessings. Maybe you did not really have success in God's blessings, but God saw you through. Maybe you lost your job for no fault of your own. Maybe you lost it because of something you did. But if God has brought you through all that, thank God. You know, sometimes it's easy to look at the success that we've had and strain ourselves by trying to pat ourselves on the back and say, look what I did. But here's something we need to remember. Deuteronomy 8:18, Moses reminds the people that it is God who gives us the ability to work. Mm-hmm. And so when we begin to think we've done it all on our own, look at me, what I've done. No, it was God who gave you the ability to do that. So make sure that you're recognizing where God has brought you to in your work. God's given you the ability to do that. He's brought us success with our family and with our friendships. Family and friends make the world go round. They really do. You know, suicide attempts happen most often with those who do not have a strong support system. I mean, that's a proven fact. And individuals who have a strong support system, who have a solid relationship with others, especially family and close friends, they're generally more stable and successful. And so we need to look at the success we've had with our family and friends. Have we been there for them? Have they been there for us? But have we been there for them to help them through the years? And knowing that we are making a difference in their lives. And recognizing the love of those around us is important as we move into the future and make a difference. And then God's also brought us success in the hopes and the goals that we may have set for this past year. You know, I'm not a big person on New Year's resolutions because you can make a resolution, but about 2 weeks later, that's usually gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you broke that. But we should set goals. We should be looking forward to next steps. And you probably did not meet all the goals that you set this past year, if you set any goals. Some of those goals may have been too ambitious for the point where you're at in time, or other goals that you may have set had outside interruptions, things that you had no control over. You know, you got this goal to make $1 million. That's overambitious. And two, maybe you were on your way to having a really good year financially, and then you got sick or something interrupted it. You know, you didn't have control on that. Perhaps some of the goals that we've set have changed because we realized that there were more important things. So you probably didn't meet all of the goals that you may have set for yourself last year. But we need to learn to celebrate what we have achieved. Remember this. If you only achieved one or two goals, you were successful in meeting them. There may have been interruptions in your life that kept you from doing a lot of the things that you wanted to, you had planned. That you may have had too many ambitious goals that were not realistic. But if you've accomplished a couple of them, you were successful. If you accomplished 10 of them, you were successful. So celebrating those wins encourage us to move forward to achieve more wins in this next year as we're serving God.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, I think some of the goals that we should set that are maybe the broad goals of I'm going to influence people for Christ. You can name certain individuals. That's okay on that. But make it a point to influence people for Christ wherever you're at, you know. And then realize, hey, you may have met a lot of those goals, but you never realized it because those people were influenced, but you did not know about it. So, you know, but celebrate the wins, because God's the one who had brought the children of Israel success, and he's the one who ultimately brings us to success in life.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's an important part for us to remember as we're moving into the future. And then one other thing I'll share before we take a quick break here is that we need to choose our priorities and choose our goals carefully. Joshua urged the Israelites to make a choice of priorities in that passage of scripture that I read. He says, serve God or serve the heathen gods, those you displaced. And in this case, the people chose to serve God. And they did so for a while. And as long as they served God, things went well. But you know what? The book of Judges is written because the people forgot to serve God. And God had to send these people along to remind them who he was and to serve him. And as long as they served God, things went well. But when they forgot, things went bad in a big hurry. And so we need to choose our priorities carefully. We can either serve God or the world. Jesus tells us in Matthew 6:24, you cannot serve God in the world. You cannot serve God in mammon. If we choose to serve the world, then in reality, when it all comes down to the end, all that God's done for us will have no value. And God has done a lot for everyone. But if we fail to serve him, in the end, it's not going to have any value. And so choosing to serve God means that we have to make priorities in our service to him. We make priorities in our time, being aware of ways to use our time to serve him, looking at each day and saying, I'm going to limit my time on doing this so I can have more time for God. And if you want to know what it's like to limit your time, just pull out your phone, put a timer on it for every time that you find yourself on social media on phone, and say, when that timer goes off, I'm off. Because, you know, these are devices that steal our time.
They do.
Mm-hmm. And I'm guilty of it. That's the reason why I say you have to be careful there. And so, you know, choose your priorities carefully in your time, in your finances. Be careful and faithful in how you are spending money. Spend it for your family. Help others. Spend it helping others. Give your tithe to the church. I could tell you a whole long story about tithing, but let me just tell you that I've been tithing most of my life, and God's never failed me yet financially, you know. And if you want that stories, come talk to me sometime. But yeah, be faithful in your finances and how you use them. Be faithful as you commit to daily worship time, prayer, Bible study, witness of life. And if you think you have to use your device for something, pull it out, plug in some earbuds, and listen to a Christian podcast. Listen to Christian music, you know, those type of things. So make sure that you have that time of daily worship. Make sure that you're serving God with your teaching as you interact with other people. You know, we think of teaching being in a classroom or a Sunday school class or something like that. You know where Jesus' classroom was? His classroom was standing in a boat. His classroom was sitting in a house teaching. And his classroom was the court temple. His classroom was sitting on the side of the mountains, giving the Beatitudes and a Sermon on the Mount. So make the world your classroom. Mm-hmm. Learn from the world, but also help others as you're teaching. Visit people. Work in various aspects of the church. Volunteer in your community. Choose to serve God wherever you're at. And again, I come back to a quote I've often said by Oswald Chambers. Choose God, or serve God where you are at, because you certainly cannot serve him where you're not.
Mm.
And
good.
So, you know, serve him wherever you're at. With that, we'll take a moment for any prayer requests we've got. Love my English. You got?